Good morning.
Morning.
I gotta say, it feels strange standing up here, but I feel like I'm home, and it's good. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we look into your word now, I ask and pray that you would give us understanding of your word and what it means to our lives. And I pray that you would help us to be very concerned about how we are seen by other people and what our priorities are. And I pray that you will just teach us today in Jesus' name. Amen. I love nostalgia, don't you? You think about, you know, way back when. I think of nostalgia of, June of 1955. My grandfather took me to my first game at Yankee Stadium. And my man, Mickey Mantle, hit a home run, beat the Orioles. And I, you know, those are things that you don't forget. You look back on life. Some of you I've known since I was a kid. You have known me. We can talk about that, but probably shouldn't. Life was life. But the Word of God gives us some very important instruction. And I'd like us to turn, if you would please, to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to look at just a couple verses here. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul is writing to Timothy, sending a letter of encouragement to him, and he says, I am mindful of the sincere faith which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that is in you as well. And then over in chapter 3, as was read earlier, Paul says to Timothy, continue in the things you have learned and have become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. I had a tremendous upbringing. I had four grandparents that I knew, all of them until the first one died just before I turned 18. They were all godly people. They loved the Lord. When I think of nostalgia, way back, my first thoughts usually come to my grandparents. Kathy can tell you I'm kind of an impatient driver. Get behind a slowpoke, I can't stand it. But if I recognize that it might be a grandparent with their grandchildren, I just back off a bit. Precious times. Things I learned from my grandparents were amazing, and they were each different. But in their own way, they projected and showed the love of Jesus Christ by how they acted. Now, my grandmother Plevere, which is my mother's mother, she was a very devoted, dear Christian, loved the Lord, got up early in the morning to pray for missionaries around the world. That's how I learned about missionaries and what they were and what they were doing. Got to meet some of them. She prayed for many of them. And her witness, I mean, if she had to get up and talk in front of you, she'd be a nervous wreck. But she was always there in the pew praying for the pastor, which is very important. And her house was such that she had some things in her house that I could still see it on East 33rd Street in Patterson. When you walked into the house, throughout her house, she had, I guess, little plaques, sayings. They were just kind of there. And I have to say, my grandmother never, ever said, Georgie, that's what she called me, Georgie, read this. What does this mean? She never did any of that. But when I think about my grandmother's house, these are the four things I think about, which teach me and tell me about how we should live as Christians, what we should be concerned about. Her house was very humble. They weren't wealthy. My grandfather was a insurance collector, used to walk around Patterson, New Jersey and collect monthly premiums for life insurance, 25 cents, 35 cents for a family. Can you imagine? But that was what it was. That's how he supported. And they lived there. And my grandmother in her house, you could always feel the love of the Lord. In her bedroom, as you walked in, the bed was there and the dresser was there. On the left-hand corner, right on the end, there was a little card. And it said, not I, but Christ. This talks about our position before the Lord, what it should be. We live in a world today where everybody is so concerned about themselves, and it's me, me. Look at all the advertising on TV. It's built to you to make you feel better about yourself. Not I, but Christ. This pictures our position before God. And I say these things, and I'm speaking to myself, because we all have these struggles within our life. We get so caught up in life sometimes, we really forget how we are supposed to be before the Lord. God is alone is worthy of our worship. And anything that we put in our lives that becomes more important than God needs to get out of there, needs to be gotten away, because it is not good. God needs to be the center, structure, and importance of our lives. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul is writing to the Philippian people, and he says these words, beginning in verse 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, which was the worst way you could die. Therefore, also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those who are in earth and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The name of Jesus is used in society greatly today, but not in this context. That's for sure. Did it ever strike you when people are always, they're always using Jesus' name for cursing, for this and that? Why don't they ever say, Buddha? They never do. You know, or why not, Thor or Odin? But they say, Jesus Christ. They take his name. Why is that? Because the world, our system is such, we're opposed to what God would have for us. And I can't believe that even though people may say that there is no God, that they can actually believe that. I'm reading a book now, talks about the arguments for and against God, and I just can't believe people will be angry at God, but at the same time say they are atheists and don't believe in God. How does that work? I don't understand that at all. When we talk about the ministry here at the Baptist Church of Northville, God has blessed this ministry for many, many years. But it's not Andrew's ministry. It's not Isaiah's ministry, Rick's, mine, anything. It's the Lord's ministry. And God has provided people here, men and women in leadership, to promote the glory of Jesus Christ and to promote his name. And that is the way it is. And when that stops, then the church begins to go downhill. There are churches that, and I say the term loosely at times, there are churches that meet. They have no missions program. What did Jesus say? Go into the world and preach the gospel. But they have no missions program. And, you know, the talk of Jesus, their sermons are, you know, about issues of the day. The only issue of the day that is important is how is your soul before God? And can it be changed? It can be through Jesus Christ, our Lord. God taught that Christ must be prevalent, must be purposeful, must be first in our lives. My grandmother's card, without ever saying anything, was there. And I have to say, when I was growing up and reading these cards, I never even thought about them. And it was after she passed, and I started thinking about my grandmother's house. These were the four things that immediately came to my mind. And I ask you as a parent, as a grandparent, aunt, uncle, when people, your children, your friends see you, what do they see? I looked at my grandmother and I saw a lady who loved the Lord and was absolutely devoted to him. She also had a sign on a wall, and I don't know how to say this any other way. It was in the bathroom. So no matter, you always saw it, okay? Have to be honest here. Said the robin to the sparrow, "I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "Friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me." I mean, this speaks of God's providence and his care and his watchfulness over us. He provides for us. And sometimes we get so, and I'm speaking to myself, I'm looking myself right in the mirror, we get so caught up in what we have or what we don't have, and we forget who supplies everything that we have. It's God. And God gives us what he wills. A lot of times that's not what we want, but it's what he wills. And God knows what's best for us. In Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 6, Paul writes and says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and there's anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. The things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived our concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned," this is a big verse, "I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am in. I know how to get along with humble means. I know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having an abundance and of suffering need. I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me." And then he concludes down in verse 19 these thoughts, and he says, "My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in the glory of glory in Jesus Christ." Does God supply all of your needs? Do you ever take time to really think about that? What we have, is it because we earned it with our abilities and our hand, or is it something that God provided for us? We have what we have because God has provided for us. We live in a country that is tremendously blessed by God. Prosperity in our country is unreal. When you go to some other countries and you see how these people live, and you come back, you want to get down and kiss the ground. I mean, America is just, you know, God has blessed this nation. My grandmother, very humble in means, never had money, much money to give to her grandchildren, this and that, but she always prayed for us. She was always satisfied with the things that we had. One of the big events of growing up, as I remember through about till we moved to Florida and when I was 16, was every Sunday, once a month or once every 2 months, our family would go to Graham Plevier's for dinner. And it was always the same dinner. She had a pot roast that was unbelievable. Mashed potatoes and gravy. My grandfather used to put so much salt on there. I remember all of these things. But it was a great time of being with family. A lot of people don't have that. They don't even understand what family is. If God has blessed you with a family, you thank the Lord for them and be everything that you can to them. My grandmother was very simple, but she always knew that God provided for her and for us. In this rush about world, I mean, we have to go here, we have to go there, we have to do this, we have to do that. We get so caught up in our activities that we forget God. We need to remember God in everything that we do. We need to be grateful to God for everything that we have. And other people should understand and know that regardless of what we're doing, we are grateful to God for what we have and for who we are. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:22, I am mindful of all things to all, I made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. What is our purpose as a church, as a group, church here? What is my purpose as an individual? Our purpose is to seek to reach people for Jesus Christ. Some people are so miserable these days. They really don't know why. And I can tell you that when you have faith in Christ and trust Him, all your problems are not going to go away. I can tell you that when you have faith in Christ, you may get sick and not get healed. But I can also tell you when you have faith in Christ, you know the best is yet to come. And so what we go through down on this earth is really nothing compared to what awaits us when we are in heaven. In Grandma's kitchen, over the stove, she had a little plaque, and it said this: only one life, it will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. This sign was Grandma's commitment to what we should be doing, reaching the world for Jesus Christ. She always loved missionaries. Even some of the missionaries that we have in this church, she was supporting them way back then, and she knew about them because of the mission that they worked through. She always told me about missionaries. I met some of them. She always prayed for them, and a lot of stories I heard about missionaries was from my grandmother because she always kept in contact. And that was back in the day when you contacted your missionaries, you sent them a letter, and 3 months later they might get it. Or you might get a letter from a missionary asking for a prayer need, and that was 3 months ago. I mean, we live in such a tremendous world these days where you can just contact right away. But my grandmother, she knew that her purpose in life was to reach people for Jesus Christ. Do I feel the same burden? Now, I got to tell you, I'm a funny guy. You know that. When I watch TV, and I like to, remember Emergency? Well, I like that. But when I watch, I don't watch necessarily the things that they're doing, but I look into the background. You see cars going by and people walking by, and my mind goes to them. What are they thinking? Now, a lot of these people, because that was an old-time show, they may be gone now. But what are they thinking? Do they know the Lord? Are they frustrated? When I was at Philadelphia College of Bible, I used to go to the top floor of the Sheraton Hotel and just look out over the city and wonder, what are these people thinking? What are they going through? Do they know the Lord? Have they trusted the Lord? And that should be our thoughts and what we do day by day, that people might be able to see in my life and in your life that we have a different purpose, that we are not enslaved and bound to the things that this world has to offer. And I'll tell you, this world has to offer some pretty nice things. But that should not be our purpose. We are here today. We're hearing God's word. Let's look at this like the huddle in the football game. You're getting your play, and then you go out. The problem is, some people are always staying in the huddle. They never go out and actually do something. It's our efforts and our responsibility to be able to go out and do something. That's why we have a car show. That's why you're going to have a prayer booth for the Doons. That's why we do so many different things, a float for the Doons parade. So people can know who we are, what we believe, and we're here to help if they want to come. You can't make anyone come. But if they want help and they ask, you should always be ready to give it whenever that happens. Mark 8:36. There was years ago when I was a kid at SAC in the old tabernacle, when you went at the door that came in by the pulpit, there was a sign above there. Mark 8:36. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That verse has been in my mind ever since I was a kid because I saw it there. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Let's think of Elon Musk. How many hundreds of billions of dollars does he have? There's probably nothing in this world that he can't have if he wants it. But if he doesn't have Jesus Christ, he has nothing. And remember what someone said, Spurgeon, I think, said it, 6 feet of ground makes all men equal. Doesn't matter what you have here. That day comes when we pass. If you are not in relationship with Jesus Christ, you are eternally lost. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Very simple, huh? I mean, it's not hard, but it is also the truth that we must rest upon day after day. God so loved the world. God so loved George Hopper. God so loved, and put your name right in there. God loved everybody in this world, even those people that are dead set on destroying Christianity and killing people and all that stuff we see going on in the world today. God loved them enough. He sent Jesus Christ to die for them. That should really be a part of our heart and life. We should think about that all of the time. When you first walked into my grandma's house, she had the couch was there, and right above the couch, she had a little plaque. In fact, I have this plaque in my room now, and it simply says, Jesus never fails. And it's from the verse in Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Jesus never fails. When we look to him and keep our focus on him, Jesus, we will not fail. We may not be successful as the world looks at success, which is a poor thing, but sometimes we get so caught up in that, to be successful. What is success? Oh, it's having a big house, and it's having, you know, a big bank account, and all these different things, and all these nice cars. Yeah, I like one of them, but yeah, still, you know, we're having all these things, but that's not what it's about. One day, we're going to have to stand before the Lord, and it will not matter what you have. What will matter is your relationship with Jesus Christ. And I say that to you here, and we go to Thailand and to Laos, and they worship Buddha or nature. If they don't know Jesus Christ, regardless of how sincere they are about that, they are eternally lost. That's horrible, and that is a bad thing to happen. Jesus never fails because the resurrection proves that Jesus is the Son of God. The resurrection proves it. Christ came down to die upon the cross for our sins. He did that, and he rose again, as he said. Remember, they went into the empty tomb, and the angel was there, and he says, he has risen, as he said. That is very, very important. Jesus rose again from the dead. And I'll tell you, we wouldn't be here today if we didn't believe that. If that was not true, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, if the resurrection was just a story, first of all, you wouldn't see the 12 disciples literally give their lives, except for John, he died old age, but give their lives for something that they would have not believed to be true. They spread out and evangelized the world in that time because they knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and he was raised from the dead. If you believe that's true, that makes all the difference in the world, all the difference on how you live and what you do. The resurrection confirmed the truthfulness of all that he said. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So many people in the world today, we're Christianities, and you know, we're mean because we say there's only one way to heaven through Jesus. There has to be other ways, and so they have all these different things. Do you ever notice all these different religions and then stuff with their nirvana and all that stuff that they work at? They have to live a certain good life to get there. And if they don't live that good life, they're not going. Well, guess what? The Bible is very different. Because if we have Jesus Christ as our Savior, even the mistakes that we made are not going to keep us from being with Him forever in glory. We are saved by the grace of God through faith, that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What is a gift? A gift is something that you give to someone else, not because you have to. If you have to, it's not a gift. You give someone a gift because you want to. When I was in Belarus teaching, I took out a 10,000 ruble bill. It's not a lot of money, but it looks impressive. And I just held it out there and said, anybody wants it, come and get it. No one would come and get it. And I said, it's yours for the taking, but if you don't take it, it does you no good. So one kid finally came up and took it. After the class, he wanted to give it back to me. I said, no. You came and you took it. God does not give back. When you accept freely the gift that He offers us in Jesus Christ, we have eternal life, and it doesn't change. He's not going to take it back. Those who live their life thinking that they can have their salvation and they can lose their salvation, that becomes a salvation by works, for by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God of the Bible, all these things you read about, all these stories, all the mighty ways that God intervened and helped His people down through the years, He's our God as well. And He's still there. It hasn't changed. He's still there. And He's just waiting for you to call upon Him. And He says, if you will call upon Me, I will answer. And that is what we have to keep in mind for ourselves today. In Hebrews chapter 11, I think about my grandmother when I read this verse, my grandparents, a lot of people that have affected my life. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, the writer says, by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. For those of you that have been coming to this church for many years, you know many of our friends and loved ones are in the cemetery up on the hill. But you also know that their faith and trust in the Lord still speaks to us. And my encouragement for you today as a child of God is to make sure that when your young people, your friends, your family, whoever sees you, they might understand there's something different because you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your word, what it teaches us. I thank You, Father, for the examples that each of us have had of godly parents and grandparents that have taught us the right way, sometimes through frustration, but I thank You that we now can say that we are children of God because of what Jesus Christ did for us. I pray if there's anyone here that cannot say that, that today they would do that. Father, I pray that as we leave the building today, we would go thinking, how can I influence and turn people towards Jesus Christ? May not this be the end of our worship, but may our worship continue as we go out those doors. And I pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.